God talking through the prophet Isaiah in the previous chapter, in chapter 34 of Isaiah. Of course, you know, the children of Israel were not obeying God. They weren't doing the things God wanted them to do. And he had kind of come down hard on them. But here in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, through the prophet, the prophet is telling the children of Israel and Israel the good news of things to come, the hope of things to come. And he says here in Isaiah 35, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with the joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of full fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall be not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Excuse me with my reading this morning. I got some newer glasses, a little stronger. And this is the first time I've used them with something this far away. So things are a little bit difficult more this morning. So please pardon my stumbling. But I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about a way that is leading from this earth to heaven, our heavenly home beyond this world where we live today. Talking about traveling, we've talked about a little bit of traveling this morning with all the weather that we've been having. And you know, we probably heard the expression, well, you can't get there from here. Well, apparently Kay can't get here from where she's at right now. But there is a way to heaven, and we all want to go there. We travel around, and it used to be, you know, when we would take a trip, and I've got a whole drawer that I need to go through, but a whole drawer in my office area that is full of maps. Antiquated maps, because we just don't use them. At least I don't use them anymore. But if I wanted to go someplace here in Bakersfield, I'd pull that map out and find the street and be able to navigate my way there. If I wanted to go to a certain place over on the coast or across this country, I'd get that map out and take the right roads and how to get there. Today, all we do is we punch in the address and our GPS and we take off. It tells us where to go. But before we took that trip, there's certain things we'd like to know. And I have a series of questions here I want to ask that need answering. First, we would want to know, is there a road or a way leading from here to our destination? If we said yes to that, then we'd also ask, well, where is it? And then we'd also ask, where can I learn about it and get all the information I need to go there? The fourth question is, how can I get on that road? And is there anything that would keep me or hinder me from getting there? And I'm already behind here, not paying attention. With all these questions answered, we might also have a few more questions. How can I stay on the road? And are there any signs along the way? And are there guides along the way as well? Well, we all want to go to heaven, don't we? That's really our goal. That's what we're striving for in this life. That's our final destination, as we want to make it to heaven when we leave this world. So we need to ask the question, is there a heaven? Well, I think most of us here today would say that there is. In John 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So the next question is, do I want to reach heaven when this journey of life is over? Yes, we do. Absolutely. Every sensible person here would like to make it to heaven. Well, let's ask some more questions. Is there a way that leads from this world to heaven? If not, then we are wasting our time here this morning. We are wasting all of our service to God. We are wasting everything. We may as well close up the building and go home, because worshiping God is for nothing if there's not a heaven that we look forward to. Well, remember what Isaiah said about this in our text in Isaiah 35 and verse 8. Isaiah talks about a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. This is the way that God has provided for those that are going to heaven. Isaiah says the unclean won't go that way, but it is a way of holiness. In Christ's Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Christ said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," or the King James Version says, "the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus calls the two ways that we can choose to go in this life the broad way and the narrow way. One leads to eternal life, and the other way leads to eternal destruction. Notice back at our text, Isaiah says, "An highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those," the wayfaring men, unclean men in other words, "though fools shall not err therein." So we have answered the first question, and that there is a way. Now we want to ask, where is the road, and what is it? Let's notice John 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." You know, Jesus didn't say here that I am a way. He didn't say that I am some way or I am one way. He says, "I am the way." You know, Frank had given a lesson here not too long ago about this as well. So not only that, but he also said, "I am the truth and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." And isn't that where we want to go, where God is? So Jesus says, you get to God by me. That's how we get to God. Well, there are some that would say, well, we're all going to the same place. I'm going one way, you're going another way, but we'll all get to the same place. That kind of statement can't be true and be biblical, because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. The Bible does not speak of any other way except one way, and it's impossible for us to reach our destination of heaven by any other way. Jesus said, "I am the way. There's only one way. No man comes to the Father but by me and him only. So Peter, talking to Jesus, said in Acts 4 and verse 12, "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So we know that Jesus Christ is the way. So the next question, where can I learn about the way? Where can I get the information that I need to know how to get in the right way? Jesus said in John 5 and verse 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So, who is this me? Jesus said, "I'm the way." He says, "I'm the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life." All the information needed and all the instruction are found within the scriptures, and it would lead and direct us in the way or to Jesus. Next question is, how can I get to Jesus Christ the way? How can I approach or come unto the way? John 6 and verses 44 through 45, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Again, who is me? Jesus says, "I am the way." Man comes unto Christ by hearing and by learning and by coming to Jesus. The scriptures, the word or the truth, is what a man learns and hears and is the first step towards Jesus, the way that will get us to heaven. As a result of learning, faith is what is produced. That's a product of our learning and hearing the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Excuse me, I need to catch up here. Romans 10 and verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God." When a man hears the word of God and the gospel and understands what he has heard and can logically apply it to his life, faith and acceptance is what is produced. You see how this is kind of progressing, how it's building on something. So then faith arouses repentance. Notice Acts 11 and verse 18. "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Well, what does the word "unto" mean? It simply means to or toward, in the direction of. The idea is to approach, come toward, move in the direction of something. An example this morning is all of us came unto this building this morning. We left our homes, we got in our cars, and we drove here, and we got out of our cars in the parking lot, and we came unto the building. We came to these doors in the front of the building, and we came unto the building, but we weren't in the building yet. We had come unto the building. We go to someone's home, and we knock on the door, or we ring the doorbell, and they open and answer the door, and they don't say, "Come unto my house." No, they say, "Come into my house," because you've come unto their house already, but you haven't come into their house yet. When I was younger, you know, we would, in the summertime, we would go to the lake go swimming. Well, every step we took towards that lake was a step unto the water, but it wasn't until I got into the water that I was in the water. Every step toward the water or in the direction of the water was a step unto the water. You know, I don't have to, and you guys don't have to be a scholar to figure those things out. We understand that. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing God's will And that causes us to believe and turn away from the world and repent. And that's what is known as repentance. All these steps bring us unto Christ, not into Christ yet. Notice Romans 10 and verse 10, Paul said, "With the heart man believeth unto," or in the direction of, "righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto," or in the direction of, "salvation." We make the confession of our faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is still a step unto Christ. This is still in the direction of salvation, but we have not received salvation yet. We have not been saved yet. Notice the word "into" never follows the word "faith" or "confession." The idea of a man having faith into salvation is contrary to what the scriptures teach. We cannot believe ourselves into anything. We may believe it, we may have faith in it, but that doesn't mean we have it. We're not there yet. So, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness in Romans 10 and 10. Repentance is unto, Acts 11 and verse 18. Confession is unto, Romans 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto, or in the direction of, salvation. Next question, are there any hindrances or anything that will keep me from getting into the way? And how can I get into the way? Romans 6 and verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, what does that mean? This is what it means. Paul says we are baptized into Jesus Christ. That means there's a transition from outside to inside. When we walked into this building, now we were inside. Every step that we did prior to that was something that was coming unto the building, but when we walked into the building, we were inside the building. Every step that I took towards the lake to go swimming was a step unto the water, but when I stepped into the water, I was now in the water. We understand that. It's impossible for you to come into this building without first having come unto it. The Apostle Paul also said in Galatians, the third chapter, verses 26 and 27, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Here's the reason we're saved by faith. We hear that term used so much. Here's why the reason, verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So when we're baptized into Christ, that's what puts us in Christ. It become a child of God and puts us into the body of Christ and the church of Christ. How many are in Christ? Well, as many as have been baptized into Christ. Any more? No. Any less? No. Well, some would say, well, I don't understand. I really don't know how you could misunderstand this. Notice in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." So when a person is baptized into Christ, they become part of the body of Christ. It's one. It's the same. It's not different. It's not a denomination. It is the body of Christ. You are a child of God. You are in Christ. You're in Christ's church, the church of Christ. What puts you in there is not faith alone. is not a confession alone, is not repentance alone. All those are steps unto, but what puts you in Christ is baptism. So Jesus says, I am the way. And how do we get into Christ? The scriptures teach us that we are baptized into Christ. Romans 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. This is the doctrine of Christ. This is the doctrine of the true church. Next question, am I willing to accept the truth? Do you think that if Christ commands everyone to believe and to repent and to confess and be baptized, that these steps are not necessary for us to reach heaven? You know, the thing is, we get in the way that leads to our destination. Sometimes it's not certain that we'll get there, just like Kay did this morning. She intended to be here, but things happened that she wasn't able to get. You know, in our spiritual life, and you've seen it as well, some people start out really well, but they get off the way. They get off the road. They take the wrong road and maybe backtrack and take the wrong turn or whatever, or they fall off the way. And the thing is, we have to stay in the right way. We must stay until our journey is over. Paul's course talked about in 2 Timothy 4 and verses 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. It takes effort on our part to stay on the road. You know, we've maybe all been at some point in a car and driving in bad weather and maybe snow or ice or whatever, and sometimes it gets a little slippery. And sometimes in our Christian life, things get a little bit slippery. And we tend to maybe veer off a little bit, and we get off the way. We have to stay faithful. Notice Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We have to stay and remain on the right road. One of these days, Jesus will say, this is the end of your journey. This is done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. We must always remember to take care not to stray away from the right path. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the way of death. The world may tell you, and other religious entities and organizations may tell you, that there's a way to get to heaven, but it's a different way, or it's a way, or some other way. But the scriptures teach us that there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and baptism into Christ.
We thank you for listening to our podcast put on by the Church of Christ at 2215 Plans Road in Bakersfield. If you would like any additional information, or you would like to receive a free Bible correspondence course by mail, please email us at info@churchofchristbakersfield.com. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Please make plans to join us. We would love for you to be our honored guest.